Jane's skin darkened at the point of contact and began to putrefy. From the slopes, a dozen demon hunters joined in, sending a fusillade of fell energy into the Corehound's skin, smashing into the infernals and sapping them of life. Cruel swept his blade through the air and invoked his power. A hail of shadow energy lashed out. A volley of bolts hurtled at the demon hunters. Some fell wounded, others slumped to the ground. Cruel seemed to visibly swell as he feasted on their deaths. Behind him, the gigantic portal still blazed. Vandel somersaulted at the top of his arc, pulled his blades clear of their sheaths, and dropped onto the demonic hound's back. Pain flared where his skin touched the creature's burning flesh. He aimed for a weak spot in the armor and drove his blades in. There was a satisfying crunch as points punched through scaled flesh. Molten ichor spurted, searing his skin. He vaulted clear of the beast and rolled to one side, narrowly avoiding the trampling feet of a gigantic infernal. He dived between the demon's legs, ignoring the scorching heat. His movements took him closer to Cruel. The Doom Guard paid him no mind. All his attention seemed focused on Illidan. Magical energies swirled around the Lord of Outland, gathering in a thunderhead of power as he invoked them. More demon hunters emerged from the hillside, moving to engage the infernals and the Corehound. Some of them dared race forward to challenge Cruel himself. Cruel flexed his wings, and there came a sound like thunder. Those nearest the demon were thrown back. Their movements were slowed. For combatants who relied so much on mobility, this made them vulnerable. Cruel's monstrous blade swept out and chopped an attacker in half. The demon hunter's blood vanished as if the runes on the blade had absorbed it, and Cruel grew visibly stronger. The demon inside Vandel stirred at the sight of all this death. It longed to feed as Cruel fed. Vandel channeled all his rage into another fell bolt and lashed out at Cruel. The magical energies splintered on whatever aura protected the demon lord. Cruel raised his blade, pointed it at Illidan, and sent another titanic bolt of shadowy energy blazing up at his opponent. Illidan deflected it with a counterspell. A low growl from behind told Vandel that the Corehound had returned to seek prey. He flipped himself around to face it. Half of one of its heads had been torn away. Molten ichor spilled from several wounds in its side. Still, the creature's unnatural vitality kept it moving. It bounded toward him, mouths gaping, flames leaking around its teeth. He leapt to meet it. His blades snapped home, piercing each eye of one head, and then he jumped away to the creature's blind side, scampering quickly to keep out of its line of sight. The creature turned. Its nostrils dilated as it sniffed the air, attempting to find him. Enraged, Cruel smashed through the demon hunters. They did their best to leap clear, but his blade slew two more. Their strikes seemed to have no more effect on him than gnat bites. The Corehound put its noses to the ground and kept sniffing. It began to move in Vandel's direction. He sent a bolt of fell energy lashing at it and kept the beam playing on the creature, draining its life away. From the air above came a titanic surge of power as Illidan finally unleashed the spell he had been weaving. The enormous bolt of hellfire smashed into Cruel and sent him sprawling.
"No, that is not possible,"
the High Lord's booming voice echoed across the battlefield. There was pain in it and a massive gap in his armored chest piece where the bolt had struck home. Venomous smoke emerged from the gap, and wounded flesh pulsed within. Cruel raised himself up and sprang toward the blazing portal. It closed behind him. Vandel stabbed the demon hound through the chest and left his blade buried in its heart. The infernal bodyguards collapsed into piles of rocks. The Illidari gathered their wounded and their dead and prepared to depart the battlefield. Illidan studied the remains of the carnage. Cruel had been strong, no doubt of that, and he had been cunning. This trap had been set with care, and only the fact that Cruel had misjudged Illidan's strength had let him escape its jaws. It was only a matter of time before a new invasion of Azeroth began. Perhaps that was to the good. It would distract the Legion while Illidan finalized his own designs. It troubled him that Krul had mentioned his plan to seek out Argus. He should not have boasted about that before he was ready to strike. That had been a mistake. He had let the thrill of triumph overcome his reason when he had done that. Additionally, he felt there was more going on here than met the eye. He was missing something, and the feeling of it gnawed at him. It was time to go back to the Black Temple and complete the preparations as fast as he could. The hour was getting late, and he could not afford to have anything go wrong now. Chapter 22. 2 months before the fall. Behind the bushes of the pleasure garden, Vandel hunched out of sight of the Blood Elves. They laughed and swigged ether mead from crystal beakers. One youth had a courtesan under each arm and kissed each in turn. Another flexed a small whip in imitation of the succubi in the den of mortal delights below. A tall, beautiful Sindori girl played a seven-stringed lute and improvised verses about a fellorc chieftain and a doomguard that were not flattering to either of her subjects. The grand promenade seemed a world away from the endless warfare taking place beyond the Black Temple. It was one reason why Vandel had taken to sneaking in here of an evening. The precincts of the inner temple were a complete contrast with the stern, martial aspect of the rest of the great fortress created for Illidan's Blood Elf followers for their own relaxation. The promenade had remained a refuge and a reward for those Blood Elves who had stayed loyal to Illidan even after Kael'thas's disappearance. The party of revelers sprawled on the manicured lawn. Silk-clad girls held tiny tidbits of devilfish at a finger's length above the lips of the males. The demon hunters had never been forbidden from entering the Black Temple. They had never been invited, either. They kept apart from the rest of the Illidari forces, as much from their blood elf kin as from the orcs and the broken and the demons. No one visited them in the ruins of Kerebor who could help it, and they mingled with none. There were times when Vandel wanted to be apart even from his fellow demon hunters. He liked to hone his skills by slipping past the temple sentinels and entering the unholy precincts of the place itself. He had climbed the great chains in the Sanctuary of Shadows and gazed in wonder on the huge statues that dominated the place. The satyr guardians had flinched away from him as if they sensed he hungered for their flesh. He had scuttled through the gloomy, orc-haunted precincts of Gorfin's Vigil and eluded the gaze of even the most alert of the Shadow Moon clan. He had inspected their magical forges and witnessed their spellcasters animating the bones of the dead. He had looked down upon the vast training area where demons marshaled and the Dragonmoor orcs trained their dragons amid the hulls of gigantic war machines. He had clambered across the battlements and looked out across the plains toward Warden's Cage, where Maiev Shadowsong was imprisoned. But the Grand Promenade was the place he liked the best. The fountains tinkled. It was the sound of running water that first attracted him, and the scent of plants, some of them familiar from the forests of Ashenvale. It reminded him of home, of the night elf he had once been. It was a sweet torment. It brought back memories of his family. There were times when that calmed him. He could pick a blossom and sniff it, and remember the times when he had brought back bouquets for his wife when she had been pregnant with Kariel. At other times, it stirred up the demon within him and fed its vengeful fury. Tonight it made him envy the sinful laughter of the blood elves at play. He reached out from the undergrowth and plucked a bottle of ether mead from the hamper. The revelers were too involved with one another to notice him. He uncorked it and took a sip. It tingled on his tongue, and for a moment he felt relaxed. Briefly, he wondered whether the demon had encouraged him to do it. Tonight he did not care. Tonight he wanted to remember other things than the battles of the past few weeks, the rumors that the Burning Legion was mustering for a new offensive. His nostrils caught the musky aroma of succubus blown from the terraces below by the hot night wind. His mouth watered. The hunger to kill banked up within him. These demons might be bound. They might be sworn to serve Illidan. They might be allies, but still they felt like enemies. They felt like prey. Trudging along the path near the revelers came Akama. The Broken moved through the garden from the direction of the council chamber, heading back down into the depths of the temple. Doubtless he had come from some late-night meeting with Illidan himself. His head was down, his gaze focused on nothing. A great weight pressed down on his shoulders. A blood elf raised his head and shouted, "Come on, Broken, join us for a drink." One of the girls tittered, "Oh, Lucen, he's so ugly." "Anyone is ugly compared with you, Alesha." "Hey, old Broken, stop your hobbling for a minute and drink with us." "Damn you, Alesha, where is that bottle of ether mead? Did you gulp it down while I was not looking?" Vandel raised it in mocking toast to the blood elf. He was so deep in shadow that no one could see him. Akama hobbled on. "Hey, old monster, are you too good to be seen drinking with us?" There was anger in Luzon's voice now. He sounded as if he was ready for violence. Akama stopped, his head turned, and he gazed upon the blood elves. He did not say anything. All present could feel the power in him. He ceased to be an old, worn-out Broken and grew into something vast and powerful and terrible. Not something to be mocked by Sindorae aesthetes. Menace filled the night, and the blood elves froze like rabbits seeing the shadow of an owl. For a moment all was still, and a premonition of violence hung in the air. Then Akama shrugged and smiled and made a gesture of benediction like a senile old priest blessing a group of children. He hobbled away. The blood elves were silent for a long time after that. Vandel stole away, wondering about Akama and his secret sorrows. Akama took the walkway into the Sanctuary of Shadows and fought down the urge to lengthen his stride as he passed the refectory. As always, when he passed that dreadful place, he was filled with a sense of horror. He did not want to look upon the thing he knew was in there, bound by Ashtung channelers. It was part of him. It was all the darkness from his soul, and a great portion of his pride, ambition, and will. It was being fed evil, magical energies, and if allowed to go free, it would devour him utterly and walk the world in his body. The thing in the refectory would eat him from the inside and use his voice to turn his followers over to the darkness. Already many of them were a long way down that road. They owed more loyalty to Illidan than they did to the ideals of their own people. Well were they named the Broken. The demons had shattered their spirit almost beyond repair. They had become so used to drifting that they would follow any strong voice, and there was none stronger than the betrayer. Some of Akama's people responded to their master as slaves responded to the lash. They obeyed quickly, unquestioningly, with total obedience. They had lost all ability to think for themselves and would perform any dark deed required of them, passing the blame and the responsibility on to the one who gave the orders. Akama looked upon the satyrs and the other demons profaning what had once been the most sacred spot of his people. It made him want to weep, just as the sight of those arrogant blood elves lolling around in what had once been the beautiful temple garden made him want to howl in fury. What had happened to the Temple of Kerebor was symbolic of what had happened to the Draenei. Every evil thing that had ever happened to them had taken root here. And over the whole dark cavalcade, Illidan presided. The triumphant demons strutting through the sanctuary mocked his passage. They knew what had been done to him. They looked at him, and they saw only a decrepit Broken, bound by the same monstrous will that had bound them. They saw what he wanted them to see. They could not look into the secret chambers of his mind where his thoughts were still his own. He kept them shielded even in his sleep. Not even Illidan could look within those warded areas. At least, that was what he told himself. There were times when he wondered whether the spell that bound him also deceived him. Perhaps it allowed him these illusions of freedom, all the better to lull him into submission. Perhaps Akama was more like his people than he knew. Perhaps he was, after all, the perfect, broken leader for a perfectly broken people. No. The day was coming when he would move against Illidan, as sure as the sun rose over Outland. He had to believe that. He would use the secret network of agents he had built up under Illidan's very nose. He would find new allies and use them to oppose Illidan's will. The betrayer would regret that he had been too wrapped up in his mad schemes to pay attention to his lowly, broken servant. Akama ground his teeth together. He would make Illidan pay for what he had done to the souls of the broken at the hand of Gul'dan. The Lord of Outland would have cause to lament that he had spared the life of Maiev Shadowsong. Akama paused and unclenched his fists. He let his mouth fall open. He made sure that once again he looked the part of the chastened, humble broken. The hollowness within his soul mocked him. Perhaps he was being allowed to do all these things. Perhaps he was just a lure to draw out those whom Illidan could not trust. Perhaps he was bait in a trap for Illidan's enemies as he had been for Maiev. He took a deep breath through his flat nostrils and exhaled, as he had been taught to do back when he had been a novice in the Temple of Kerebor. He remembered when this place had been a haven of peace and purity, a sanctuary for the sick and the weak. The thought calmed him for a moment, but then he caught sight of his own distorted shadow cast against the wall. He was just as twisted now as the temple, and he wondered if either of them would ever find their way back to what they had once been. "Curse you, Illidan. Curse you and all your schemes. What are you up to now?" High Nethermancer Zerevor held the seal of Argus. He turned it over and over in his hands. The Blood Elf's silver crown glinted as he tilted his head to one side. An expression of interest appeared in eyes resembling pools of fell green light. "I understand why you sought this so long, Lord. It should allow you to find what you are seeking. It is a compass for locating Argus." Illidan snapped his wings open, then settled them back around his shoulders. He allowed a note of irony to show in his voice. "Really? You are certain?" Zerevor flinched at the mockery. "As certain as anyone can ever be when dealing with the magic of the Burning Legion." Lady Melander's laughter tinkled around the council chamber. "And as ever, you try to cover yourself in case of error, Zerevor." Gathios, the Shatterer, resplendent in his gleaming paladin armor, opened his mouth as if he was going to say something, then shut it again. He rarely spoke when matters were not concerned with warfare. Instead, he exchanged a knowing glance with Veras Darkshadow. The lean assassin smiled in acknowledgement. Had they been plotting against their companions again? Impatience curled Illidan's fist. "Let him finish, Melander." The lovely priestess shot him a hurt look. Her beauty had driven many an elf to distraction. She seemed to regard his own indifference as a challenge. A cold smile flickered across Zerevor's face. "It could be used to steer us through the Burning Legion's network of portals and gateways. It could guide us all the way back to Kil'jaeden and legendary Argus." "I know this," Illidan said. "I have always known this. Why do you bring it up now? What is your point?" The High Nethermancer looked over at the schemata spread on the trestle table. They represented Illidan's masterwork, but clearly something about them had Zerevor worried. "We could use their own gateways to reach Argus. There is no need for this new portal of yours, Lord. It is a work of genius, but why reinvent the wheel? With but the simplest modification, you could use your spell to tap into the Legion's system of portals." "Because if we use the Legion's network, we will need to pass through multiple portals, giving the demons an opportunity to block us every step of the way. This gateway will take us to Argus in one jump. It will let us attack by surprise. It will ensure our lines of communication are short and can be easily maintained." The other three councillors nodded as if they agreed with every word. Zerevor persisted in his questioning. "If it works, Lord, you are taking a titanic risk. The expenditure of energy needed will be on a scale unlike anything we have ever used before. Would it not be simpler to take advantage of what already exists?" "Simpler, but far more dangerous. The Legion outnumbers us by a factor of thousands. Its forces are dispersed, but if we give them time to assemble, They will crush us. Zerovor held up the seal to eye level, as if by doing so he could conceal his expression from Illidan's perceptions. And attempting to open this gateway could shatter the world again as Ner'zhul shattered Draenor, if the spell is not perfectly cast, if there are any mistakes in the calculations. Illidan reached out and took the seal from his grasp. There are no mistakes in the calculations. The spell will be perfectly cast. I will do it myself. And if you are wrong, Lord, I am not wrong. Illidan focused his attention completely on his counselor. He loomed over him, letting him feel the breeze from his slowly moving wings. Zerovor looked away, shoulders slumped, palms open. As you say, Lord. As you say. Then the High Nethermancer's face went pale. Beads of sweat appeared on his forehead. He closed his eyes and frowned in concentration. What is it? Illidan demanded. The warding spells I set over the dark portal have just been tripped. The gateway has become fully operational. Someone has opened a pathway between Outland and Azeroth so wide that you could bring an army through. And that appears to be exactly what is happening. Chapter 23. 2 months before the fall. From the ridge they had a fine view of the dark portal, and a demoralizing one, Vandel thought. The gateway to Azeroth glowed darkly within a mighty arch, reached by the titanic steps of the Stair of Destiny. It was not the sight of it that depressed him. It was the army surrounding it. Since the confrontation with High Lord Krul, the Burning Legion had rushed armies into Outland so quickly they could not be contained. Most of them seemed to be down there now, in the valley and along the road leading to the dark portal. Thousands of demons and tens of thousands of their worshippers camped out. They had come through scores of portals, all opened simultaneously in such numbers that not all could be closed. It seemed as if they were intent on proving to Lord Illidan how futile his plans for opposing them were. More and more of the Legion's troops marched along the road from Zangarmarsh into Hellfire Peninsula. The Legion's forces were moving with a terrible purpose, and that could only be a new invasion of Azeroth. The way to his homeworld was open again, and for days now the Legion had poured forces through. So many, and yet so few. All those soldiers and demons and war engines down there looked imposing, but recollecting the vision he had during the ritual of transformation, Vandel knew that they were but the tiniest fraction of what the Burning Legion could bring to bear. Every day, more and more of them arrived. He tried to imagine the uncountable distance they covered to reach this place, the vast gulfs between worlds they had passed through, and he could not. The dark portal itself was daunting enough. The two-robed stone giants on either side of the titanic arch reminded him of similar sculpted figures within the Black Temple. They leaned on blades large enough to smash the walls of Stormwind City. Lights shimmered within the portal, glittering like trapped stars. Another convoy moved along the road to deliver its cargo of soldiers and munitions to the vast encampment in the portal's shadow. The Illidari had tried to stop the convoys from getting through. They had set ambushes, attacked head-on, but it was pointless. Their enemies were too numerous and too powerful, and they were merely throwing away resources that would be needed to defend the Black Temple when the final attack came. Illidan's boast that he was going to take the war to Kil'jaeden also seemed pointless now. No more threatening than a child dressing up in his father's armor and waving his father's sword would be to a veteran soldier. Vandel looked from face to face. Illidan's wore a sneer, as if this whole vast army was beneath his contempt. Needle's face twisted in a mad grin that stretched the seams stitched in his lips. Elarisiel looked quite frankly afraid, and Vandel wondered whether her demon was taking over her mind and manipulating it. His own inner demon radiated a sense of satisfaction. This demonstration of strength by the Burning Legion pleased it. It would be welcome down there, among that mighty force. He could join its invincible ranks at any time and have worlds as his playthings until the universe fell into ruin and was reborn. Why are we here? Vendel wondered. Had Illidan brought them here merely to depress them? Such was not his way. There must be a purpose to it. Vendel remembered what the betrayer had done to the portal to Nathrezar. Perhaps he planned the same thing here, a suicidal charge at the gate, a spell of destruction to make it explode, and then that whole army down there would be gone. As would the demon hunters. The Burning Legion could always find more troops. Who would be left to oppose it once Illidan's forces were in their graves? Why should it be opposed? His inner demon whispered. Why should you even try? You belong to it. You always have. Even as the thought occurred to him, the flow of power around the gate increased a thousandfold. Troops surged through the portal coming from Azeroth. Orcs moved alongside humans, night elves beside blood elves. Griffins soared into the sky above the gateway. Wyverns flew beside them. Spells shimmered in the air. Magical weapons cleaved through demon hide. A squad of Felguard moved to block the Stair of Destiny, but a huge orc, armed with a mighty hammer, smashed his way through them. Beside him, a human carrying a shield watched his back. It was astonishing to see these people fighting alongside one another. Clearly the threat of Krul's forces had done much to unite them. It looked as if the Alliance and the Horde together were invading Outland. Once the advance force of heroes was through, more and more troops emerged, marching in closely knit groups to secure the perimeter. A massive Wrathguard smashed through one human line, a mighty axe clutched in each hand, the demon's body encased in gleaming armor. A company of orcs rushed to intercept him. A lightning bolt cackled, and the Wrathguard halted for a moment. The orcs dragged him down. More and more Azerothian troops poured through the gate. Their casualties were appalling, but still they fought. For every human or orc or troll dragged down, another stepped into place. There must be a huge army assembled on the other side of the dark portal, Vendel thought, remembering the size of the Legion force that had passed through. All the kingdoms of the Alliance and all the realms of the Horde must have been stripped bare of combatants. The might of an entire world had been assembled to stand against the Burning Legion. Vendel could only pray that it would be enough. In the center of the Legion camp, he could see High Lord Krul shouting orders to his force. Did he relish the coming combat, or did he regret shoving a stick into this hornet's nest? Illidan crouched down for a moment, wings spreading wide behind him. He tilted his head to one side. A puzzled expression flickered across his face. Did Krul expect this? Did he want it? His voice was soft, as if he was speaking to himself. Why would he want to provoke an attack from both the Horde and the Alliance? Vendel asked. Illidan's gaze remained locked on the conflict. To draw out the forces of Azeroth, perhaps. To lure them away from their home ground into a place where they can be more easily destroyed. You think this is a trap, Lord Illidan? It has the feel of one. The question is, for whom? There is something here that I dislike. Vendel understood. The feeling of satisfaction his own demon radiated was troubling. Was it reacting on some level to something it sensed about this situation? If that was the case for Vendel, how much greater must the disturbance be for Illidan, who was so much more powerful and experienced? For a moment, Vendel felt something like guilt. As he watched a contingent of Night Elf combatants crash into the Burning Legion line, it struck him that he should be down there, fighting with them. He was a demon hunter, after all, and down there was one of the largest forces of demons ever assembled in Outland. But what would the Kaldori say when they saw him, tattooed with the markings of Illidan, their ancient enemy? They would not greet him as a friend and companion. They were more likely to take him for one of the demons they fought. He wondered if anyone he knew was riding with the army, and if he was going to have to go out there and kill them. He was not sure what he would do if Illidan gave the order. He was a demon hunter, loyal to the betrayer, but his war was against the Burning Legion, not against folk who had once been his kin. He was not their enemy, even if they thought they were his. What would he do then? The answer was simple. If he was ordered to, he would fight. If Kaldori attacked him, he would kill them. Otherwise, he would try to avoid them. More and more soldiers swept down the Stair of Destiny, a flood of armored flesh. A tidal wave of violence that carried all before it. Just for a moment it looked as if the burning legion encampment might be overrun. Then High Lord Cruel entered the battle and the offensive ground to a halt. Step by step the armies of Azeroth were driven back up the stairs. The melee was brutal and deadly. There was no space for ducking or weaving, just a quick, savage exchange of spells or blows amid the press of bodies. Eventually the two forces achieved balance, with neither able to gain or lose a step, and the combat continued with unabated fury. Even as the battle teetered on the brink, a new threat to the armies of Azeroth emerged. A force of Felguard, Dreadlords, Doomguard, and Wrathguard had assembled on the far edge of the Legion camp and moved along the ridge below, keeping out of sight of the main conflict. High Lord Cruel himself led them, accompanied by his core hounds. His intent was clear, to crash into the Azerothian line by surprise from the flank. Vandel was not sure how Cruel's force was going to do that. Perhaps the Doomguard intended to fly up the side of the Stair of Destiny. Some of his minions could use their wings as well, although they might lose the element of surprise. Most likely they intended to keep close to the steep side and stay out of sight until they rose to the attack. They could use sorcerous portals to bring in the rest of their force. Illidan noticed the same thing. If those demons can turn the orc flank, then the battle will be lost, and the invaders will be sent back to Azeroth. The greater part of their force will be cut off and destroyed. There was a musing note to his voice, as if he was turning the possibilities over and over in his head, holding them up to the light to inspect them and see which was best for him. "We cannot let that happen," Vandel was surprised to hear his own voice say. Illidan turned in his direction. He had the betrayer's attention. Illidan's wings clung rigidly around his body as if he were concealing it. His head tilted to one side, and he said, "Of course you are correct, Vandel. Take a company and intercept the demons before they reach the stairs. Stop them." Vandel was not sure whether he was being rewarded or punished for speaking out. It had taken the power of the betrayer himself to vanquish Cruel during their last encounter. Vandel did not have that kind of strength, nor did any of his companions. Perhaps, working together, they might overcome the Burning Legion's field commander. He had been given a direct order, and he would obey, trusting that Illidan had some plan for victory. Vandel gestured to Elarisiel and a group of the others to follow him. Needle fell in by his side. They moved down the ridge, traveling as fast as they could to intercept Cruel's force, while remaining out of sight of the combatants on the Stair of Destiny above. The demon hunters covered the ground with the agility of panthers. Cruel's troops, as Vandel had suspected they would, had taken up position in the shadow of the stairs. The winged ones were already starting to fly up the side. The demons were a small force, but a powerful one, and they might turn the course of the battle if they arrived in time. Vandel screamed a war cry. The demons turned to look in his direction. Their burning gazes fell on him. He aimed a fell bolt at the nearest, searing into the creature's monstrous armored body. Moments later he was amid the demons, cleaving and striking, ducking and rolling, evading the blasts the Wrathguard unleashed from the strange weapons mounted in their chests. High Lord Cruel looked directly at Vandel. He lashed out with one of his deadly shadow bolts. Vandel leapt over it and closed with the giant demon.
"Ah, little one, does your master fear to face me himself?" Cruel boomed.
"No, he thinks I am a match for you," said Vandel. He stepped aside as Cruel's gigantic blade bit into the ground next to him. Chips of shattered rock drew blood from Vandel's side. He stabbed the High Lord's tree-trunk-sized leg, aiming for a point behind the greave, and his blade recoiled from Cruel's protective aura. He rolled forward, hoping to put himself behind the Doomguard and out of his line of sight. A brutal melee had erupted in the shadow of the vast stairs, hidden from the eyes of the combatants above. Vandel's role took him into the middle of it. He twisted his head and saw that Krul was already engaged with more demon hunters. One of them fell, cleaved in twain by that battering ram-sized blade, and then the Doom Guard sent a volley of magical bolts ripping through his other attackers. The great Corehounds snarled by his side. Vandel aimed himself at Krul's back, but before he could leap, demons swarmed him. It took all his concentration just to remain alive. He killed first one Felguard and then another, but for every one he chopped down, another moved into place. His limbs grew sluggish, and even his magical dagger blades began to dull and lose their edges. He fought amid a pile of bodies, elf and demon, killing and killing, until he had no more power left to draw on, and even the gibbering demon voice in his head was silenced. He knew now that he was going to die, and he did not really care. He would sell his life dearly, taking as many demons into death with him as he could. For the first time in months he felt like a mortal elf, weary and slow. The demons came on, relentless, unstoppable. The tide of battle carried him back toward the Doom Guard. Once more he found himself face to face with Krul. Vandel ducked the swing of the High Lord's massive blade, and then he stumbled. The demon's huge weapon passed through the spot where his head had been. He tried to pull himself to his feet, but found he could not. Krul stood over him, sword raised, and Vandel knew his last moment had come. The blade caught the bloody light of the outland sun, and then began its descent. Vandel refused to look away. He raised both daggers in a last, desperate attempt to parry. Krul's chest exploded, leaving only a gaping hole, through which Vandel could see Illidan, warglaives in hand, lightning swirling around them, the backwash of his shattering bolt of energy. The Doom Guard toppled. Vandel rolled aside as the demon's massive form smashed into the ground beside him. Once again, Illidan had used a slow-building spell of awesome power to smite the High Lord. Vandel and his companions had been a distraction. "You killed him," Vandel said. Illidan's smile was enigmatic. "Perhaps." All around he heard the sounds of battle. A score of demon hunters emerged to confront the demons, taking them in the flank, as they had intended to do to the Azerothian forces. Off guard, leaderless, and facing an unknown number of foes, the demons broke into small groups and were destroyed piecemeal. Vandel pulled himself to his feet. The demons of Krul's force were all dead. Still the hunger burned in him. He could kill 1,000 of the Legion's minions, and it would never be enough. He could obliterate a world of them, and still be barely started. He recognized that impulse as the same one that drove the Legion itself, and at that moment he did not care. He just wanted to go on killing and killing. His lips twisted into a snarl, and he made ready to seek out prey once more. Illidan placed a hand on his shoulder. "No more. Now is not the time. We have work elsewhere." For a moment, Vandel considered striking the Lord of Outland, but he restrained himself, and slowly the thirst for vengeance sank back to something he could control. He exhaled, and it seemed part of the rage left him with his breath. "We have saved the Alliance and the Horde here this day, and they will never know," Vandel said at last. "They do not need to know. It is enough that they are here." Illidan's smile showed the depth of his satisfaction. "They will keep the burning Legion occupied while we engineer its defeat. The enemy of my enemy." The demon hunters pulled away from the battle, heading back up the slopes toward their initial vantage point. Vandel turned to gaze back at the conflict. More troops had marched through from the Azerothian side, a colossal wave of melee fighters and spellcasters. They fanned out to guard the flanks of their force, then began the work of clearing the stairs against their foes. The tide of battle had turned in their favor once more. It looked as if the forces of Azeroth had established a permanent foothold in Outland. Illidan flexed his wings triumphantly. "Now we must seek the throne of Kil'jaeden." Chapter 24. 2 months before the fall. Streams of molten green lava flowed down cliffs of shattered basalt. The air blazed with heat and fell magic. It tingled on Illidan's skin, filled his lungs with every breath. He glanced around and noted that on every boulder, every ledge, every shard of rock that stabbed at the sky, a demon hunter stood guard. They had driven off the Legion guards, but there was every chance the ritual he was about to perform would draw the attention of the demon's commanders. While in his trance state, he would be vulnerable, unable to fight or flee. He was taking a terrible risk here, but it was one that needed to be endured. If one of his followers proved to be treacherous or even overly ambitious, his life would end. The throne of Kil'jaeden. The name itself had power, setting up a resonance between the demon lord and this location. Huge magical energies flowed all around. Gul'dan had used the mountain as the site of the ritual that had bound the Orc clans to the service of the Burning Legion before the First War. Gul'dan's absorbed memories now told Illidan this was the place to cast his spell. Here lay a great flaw in the fabric of the universe that was connected to the lair of the Deceiver himself. This night, the flow of energies from the twisting nether would be at its strongest in years. He walked the edge of the great pattern he had inscribed in letters of fire on the black rock. He mouthed the words of the incantation, a constant, repetitive chanting, binding forces that he could hold in place with a mere fraction of his mind. All around, monstrous energies coiled, waiting to be unleashed. It had taken weeks to forge this spell. It could only be cast at this exact location, at this exact hour, when all the signs were right. He stared at the dark clouds in the blazing sky. A massive gout of lava spurted from the tortured depths of the earth, like demon blood pouring from a titanic wound. He took out the disc he had claimed on Nathrezar and focused all his powers of perception on it. The psychic stench of the demon lords of the Burning Legion still clung to it. When he inspected it closely with his strange vision, he could picture them. Sargeras, bleak, uncompromising, a fallen titan, radiating misery and despair. Archimonde, a mad warlord consumed with fury and rage. Sargeras' fist. Kil'jaeden, the schemer, so adept at corrupting so many. Who was Illidan to set himself against the likes of that awful trio? He touched the steel of Argus, running his claws over the indentations of the runes until the cool metal squeaked. It was odd that it could stay so cold even here amid all the fire and fury. He passed around the edge of the sorcerer's circle he had created, checking the wards, making sure that the energy flowed correctly through it, that he had made no mistakes. Now was not the time for errors. He was wasting time, and that was folly. If he waited too long, the window in which the spell could be cast would close. Another would not arise for moons. He should proceed, and yet he could not make himself take the final step just yet. Soon, if things went according to his plan, he would be gazing upon those with the power to destroy him completely, and he would face them alone. It had not been so sweet, this life, and yet he found that now that the hour was upon him, he was still reluctant to leave it. He prowled the edge of the circle, probing it with tiny traces of magical energy. Ner'zhul's fate was a warning. The shaman had turned against his demonic masters and paid the ultimate price for his betrayal. There were times when Illidan wondered whether he was going to do the same, whether this was just a game for the demon lords, one in which the odds were all stacked in their favor, and they derived amusement from the insect struggles of those who opposed them. He took a gulp of the air, catching the brimstone taint of the green lava. It was like breathing in the smoke from a great inferno. It made the lungs tingle and burn. Time was running out. In an instant, before he could stop himself or regret the decision, he spoke the final words of the spell, unleashing the tidal wave of power. It tore his spirit from his body and sent it tumbling headlong into the twisting nether. The way opened before him. He felt as if he were falling into the rune-covered disk, but he knew this was an illusion, a construct created by his mind to give him some sense of understanding what was going on here. Ultimately, that was not possible for a brain born in natural reality, but his mind would do its best to provide him with a framework he could work with. His spirit emerged into the twisting nether and gazed down on Argus. The world hovered on the brink between the twisting nether and the physical universe, saturated with the fell energies of the burning legion. He tumbled headlong toward the surface of the world. Once it must have been beautiful, a place of crystalline mountains and shimmering seas. Now it was cold and cruel. A darkness brooded over the place, and a sense of corruption and loss. The seal pulsed in his claws. It was no longer the real disk, but a representation of it, built from the magical energies of his spell, and it drew him downward to what he sought. The tug was almost irresistible, and yet he fought against it, studying the sky, noting the position of stars and constellations, fixing them in his mind. Desperately, he sought familiar signs in the sky, knowing that he could use them to plot his position in the cosmos. He looked also for magical energy tides, the auroral currents flowing out of the twisting nether. Was this really the place he sought? He orbited it swiftly, taking sightings, looking for signs, still fighting all the time the tug of the spell he had created. Once more he felt the cold, emotionless distance from his body. A prickling of paranoia tickled his sorcerously trained senses. For a moment he thought he sensed a presence observing him. He glanced around, but could find nothing. A thought occurred to him. If he could sense Kil'jaeden through this link, was it not possible the demon lord could sense him? He had created his spell in such a way that it should be impossible for any sorcerer to detect him, but what did he truly know of the deceiver's capabilities? No sense in worrying about it now. He was committed beyond any possibility of turning back. He let his spirit swoop down over the jagged crystalline mountains, saw the corruption that festered within them and caused them to crumble. He watched dust devils, born of the powdered gems, rise into the air and screech down canyons of serrated rock. Light shimmered and danced as it was refracted everywhere. Ahead of him lay a city, looming over canyons of fractured crystal. Within it were many presences, all of them capable of blasting his soul. Illidan felt a surge of energy as his soul crossed the borders of the city. It too must have been beautiful once, laid out according to complex geomantic rules. Its curved structures reminded him of the Draenei buildings of Outland, only these were far more intricate and beautiful. Outland's town halls were hovels compared with the fantastic structures he passed now. These were huge machines for focusing magic. Once, according to all he had been able to uncover, they had provided peace, harmony and health to an entire world. Now they created a cloud of fear and despair, visible to Illidan's spectral sight. At the center of the great city stood a mighty palace. Within lurked a massive, ominous presence, surrounded by those only slightly less monstrous. It was to here that the disk drew Illidan. His spirit zoomed through the streets with the velocity of thought. He tried to slow himself down to get things under control, to stop himself from being reeled in too swiftly. He forced himself to halt by the walls of the palace. He sensed another presence. Something lurked close by, studying him. He extended all his senses to the ultimate. There was something there, but he could not quite pin it down. It was as shielded as he was. A sentinel or something else? He forced himself to watch and wait, but nothing happened. Time to move. He slipped through the crystal corridors, past runes that glowed with evil significance. It was as if the core of all the spells that had once spread light and harmony across the city and the world had been rewritten to create the opposite. When he studied the runes, feelings of rage and despair filled his mind. Even shielded as he was, the spells affected him, filling him with visions of conquest, a lust for domination and destruction, a rage to end all things. Here, written in runes of fire, was the creed of the Burning Legion. He looked on the representation of the seal. This would be the anchor for the gateway between Outland and Argus. He invoked the final phase of the spell. The disc pulsed in his hand as it absorbed energies from all around, strengthening the connection it already had with this place. Once he was done, he would no longer need to open a portal from the throne of Kil'jaeden. He could use the link forged here with the seal instead. Dark energies began to permeate his astral form. A heaviness flowed through him. His spirit congealed, took on a glutinous physical quality born from the power all around him. He moved closer to the core of this dark labyrinth, feeling more and more the aura of the deceiver. His movement slowed, his astral form floated lower and lower. For all his precautions, he had become trapped in the web of some terrible energy. The maze of spells surrounding him was binding its evil energies to his spirit. The presence he had felt earlier returned. He twisted, trying to locate it, but could not. He cursed. It had caught him, and it now only seemed a matter of time before his severed spirit floated into the presence of the deceiver and was enslaved or destroyed. Desperately he fought against the spell. He sloughed off some of the magical plasm, regained something of the sense of weightlessness, but still he drifted into the vast throne room where Kil'jaeden sat, surrounded by his court of demons. The Eredar Lord loomed gigantically, all red and burning. Vast bat-like wings emerged from his back and seemed to reach to the ceiling. Huge amber lights blazed on his spiked shoulder guards. Fiery eyes dominated the face of a mutated Draenei. An aura of awesome, thunderous power clung to him. There was no doubt. Illidan had found his way to the palace of Kil'jaeden on the lost world of Argus. Unfortunately, the burning gaze turned toward where he was. A twisted smile passed over that monstrous face. Massive nostrils flared as if catching the psychic scent of prey. Illidan felt the other watching presence again. It enwrapped him. He struggled against it but could not cast it off, even as Kil'jaeden's eyes lay fully upon him. The deceiver's gaze rested there, pregnant with the threat of destruction. Then it passed on. Something had turned it away from Illidan, and it took him a moment to realize what. The presence that enshrouded him now pushed him out of the edge of the throne room. He had a sense of it just for an instant. It was a thing of light, so bright as almost to be painful to behold. As he became aware of it, he heard a titanic roar of rage from within the throne room of Kil'jaeden, as if the Eredar Lord sensed it too. The shackles of ectoplasm that had bound him sloughed away. "Begone from this place. You cannot survive here. Not now." The voice spoke within his head and was gone. The spell of translocation snatched him back to the throne of Kil'jaeden. Illidan's spirit crashed back into his physical form. He caught himself before he could fall, realized that he had been gone for only a heartbeat in this world, even if it had felt like an eternity in the twisting nether. The seal of Argus blazed crimson in his hands. He had done it. He had survived, and he had found out what he needed. He had confirmed the presence of Kil'jaeden upon Argus. He had found the beating heart of the Burning Legion. And he had found something else. A being who had aided him to escape when all seemed lost. He thought about the light he had sensed within it, and realized he did not trust the thing. Kil'jaeden was not known as the deceiver for nothing. Perhaps this was all part of some vast and elaborate trap. Chapter 25. The Last Month Before the Fall. Illidan stood at the head of the great map table in the council chamber of the Black Temple. His advisers came and went along with messengers bearing the latest news. The blood elves of his council argued with Akama and with Vandel and the other leaders of the demon hunters. Illidan rubbed his temples just below the horns. He had almost recovered the strength the spirit journey to Argus had cost him, and he could not let up yet. He He needed to keep pressing on to take advantage of what he had found out. He needed to face Kil'jaeden, and soon, before the deceiver got wind of his plans and made ready for him. He was so deep in thought that it took him some time to realize that Lady Melanda was speaking to him. "What is your command, Lord Illidan?" Melanda was insistent. There was a note of urgency to her voice that demanded attention. Illidan turned his eyeless gaze on her in a way he knew to be discomforting to those who lacked his spectral vision. "Concerning what?" Illidan said. He allowed his irritation to show. "About Coilfang Reservoir. The news is not good. Lady Vash has been overthrown and the great pumps have been shut down." Coilfang Reservoir. Images of a vast pumping station full of magical engines leapt into his mind. He pictured miles of pipes running through gigantic underground caves. He thought about Vash's plan to gain control of all the waters in Outland. It had seemed important once, but with events racing ahead so quickly, it was hardly worth dealing with. He had more urgent things to worry about. "What would you have us do, Lord Illidan?" Dathios the Shatterer asked. He stroked his chin with one gauntleted hand. "The Alliance and Horde have established bridgeheads in Hellfire Peninsula. They have sacked Hellfire Citadel and destroyed Magtheridan. Should we strike back?" Illidan considered the paladin's question. What was there to do? The Azerothians had done more than engage the Burning Legion. They had taken one of the greatest Illidari fortresses. It was just the latest in a long string of setbacks. This one would cost him dearly in the long run. Without the Pit Lord's blood, there would be no more fell orcs for his legions. Except the long run no longer mattered. Things would be settled soon, and they would not be settled in Outland, but on Argus. He had the true location of Kil'jaeden's homeworld, but he had found it in spirit form. Now he needed to be able to transport an army there, in the flesh. It would take power to open such a portal, vast amounts of power. Only one source of such was available to him. He would need to use souls, and far more of those than had been used to open the way to Nathrezar. Gathios loomed at his full height. He banged his chest plate with one mighty fist. "Lord Illidan, what should we do? The Alliance and the Horde are expanding on all fronts. They engage our forces as well as the Burning Legions. Should we withdraw to the Black Temple? Should we stand firm and throw them back?" It seemed that Illidan's hope that the Azerothians would focus on the Burning Legion had been a deluded one. Their hatred for him was so great, they were prepared to ignore the larger threat. Cruel must have known they were as vengeance-crazed as Mai of Shadowsong when he lured them into invading Outland. Well, Illidan had made the Doomguard pay for that. Someday soon he must visit Maiev and show her exactly how unhappy he was with her, too. But he did not have time for any of this now. The fate of existence rested on his shoulders. "Do what is necessary," Illidan told Gathios. He scattered the tokens on the map with a sweep of his claw. "Other matters demand my attention." An appalled silence filled the council chamber. All gazes turned to him, expecting leadership. He had made a mistake. He still needed his people to have faith in him, to follow him to the final battle. Illidan leaned on the map table and looked at each one in turn, the demon hunter leaders, Akama, Gathios, the rest of his council, all of the others. "We are fighting a war to preserve all existence from the fury of the Burning Legion," he said. "It does not matter whether we hold Outland for a few more years. Once the Legion regroups, it can bring overwhelming force against us. What happens here and now is no longer important, save as it bears upon the true struggle." The silence deepened. The demon hunters nodded. They had shared his vision. They knew what the Burning Legion truly was. They understood the magnitude of the threat it represented. The others looked unsure. Fury filled Illidan's heart. He wanted to lash out, to strike their uncomprehending faces. He drew himself back from the brink, tried to look at things as they might. They saw only the fiefdoms they ruled, the power they held, slipping from their grasp. They feared for their lives, as if those lives could have any meaning in the face of the cosmic threat of the Legion. They did not understand that victory here on Outland merely preserved their lives for a few more months or years. The end was coming for them all, unless Kil'jaeden was defeated, unless the Burning Legion was destroyed. It was not their fault that they saw only